Is that what you started to think?
That's what I'm like, exactly. I mean, there were some fans who came in and sat nearby. And there's also, taken for granted, this is before the soundtrack. So you hear stuff going on in the background, too. Like guys setting up the sound and things like that. And then we had to break after 5 minutes. And because then he had to actually go and do his sound check.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, I'll wait, no problem. And then he came back over and we did like about 10 more minutes of the interview. So I'm going to play 5 right now and then we'll talk a little bit about it and pretend like I didn't have to wait 45 minutes while he while he did a sound check. And then he comes back and I'm just like, oh, what was that instrument you used up there? And I'm a little more relaxed because I'm like, dude, I've been waiting all this time.
And you're angry.
And I'm a little angry.
A little angry.
No, I wasn't angry. He was, as you'll see, he's really cool and he laughs at things I say.
So wow, you're funny?
That's as cool as it gets, I think.
Wow. That is.
You should try to be funny on the show sometimes.
I know. Look at the sass. How old is this guy? 19 years
right.
old?
Right, sorry. I'm
jeez.
A youngin'.
You have any stop motion movies recently?
No.
I've heard
either.
About those.
From midnight to 5 a.m.?
Hey, that's the best time to make them.
It is. All right, so here's the Jonathan Colton interview. You're listening to I'm in a Band. It's the best in unsung music. It's Sunday nights, 8 to 10 p.m. on UCLAradio.com. Here's what Jonathan Colton had to say to us. All right, so stay tuned. Here it is.
So if you get an offensive one, it's probably not for me. So your songs, you have a lot of witty and you know, very funny songs. Do you feel like, you know, when with artists like you and Flight of the Conchords, that it's hard to be taken serious as like a serious musician just because you're able to weave things together and make people laugh?
Yeah, I think that's certainly a danger of doing comedy music. But on the other hand, you know, I don't feel like a serious musician in many ways. You know, what I do is not about being a great guitar player or having a terrific voice. You
right.
know, it's and I think there are artists like that. Mm-hmm. What I do is funny songs.
Right.
And you know, I do some straight stuff as well. And mm-hmm. and generally, I find that people who are fans will, you know, maybe find me through the funny ones, but then mm-hmm. come to appreciate the sadder ones. So right. it all works out, I think.
All right, cool. Code Monkey was a great song. And it's also a great story that you have about quitting your job and everything like that. But do you think the story of programmers who quits job to pursue music, do you think that gets blown out of proportion? Or how much do you perpetuate that story just because it's a good story for people to kind of latch on to you?
By? Yeah, I mean, it certainly is a good story.
Because you were playing music before, right?
I was. It was a hobby. I was not making a living that way.
Right.
And it definitely was a big change, and it felt very risky and terrifying
right.
and all
right.
that. But yeah, it's not like, you know, it's not like I had never picked up a guitar
right.
before, and then I started doing it professionally.
Right.
But yeah, it definitely is a good story, and I think, you know, one of the reasons it resonates with people is that I think a lot of people are dissatisfied with their careers and
yeah.
what they do for a living on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people love the idea, as I do. I'm very grateful for having had the opportunity to leave something and start doing mm-hmm. True passion, you know. It's,
right.
it's a very nice situation.
Right. One of the things you said is that you did it because you didn't want your daughter growing up with that kind of role model, right?
Yeah.
Do you think it's harder? Because a lot of artists will say, oh, I had to give it up because I had to get a day job, I had to support the family. But you kind of went the other way.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, of artists pursuing things while they have a family? Do you think that's better motivation? Or do you think
I can't speak for everyone.
Yeah.
For me, it was the only motivation that ever worked.
Uh-huh.
You know, I meant to do this my entire life, and
right.
I never did until after she was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly wish that I'd done it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, for instance, touring would mm-hmm. be a lot more fun
right.
as a 21-year-old than as a 37-year-old.
Nice.
You know, I think you can only do as much as you can do. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, for whatever reason, I think if I tried to do it 10 years earlier,
mm-hmm.
it would be looking very different right
mm-hmm.
now, because you know, some of the internet stuff that has happened that has contributed to my success just didn't exist.
Right, right.
Until recently. So that's a big part of it, too.
Right. So you have a lot of sing-along portions of your songs.
Yes.
Especially, you know, regarding your brains and whatnot.
Yeah.
What was it like the first time that you encouraged audience participation? Did you ever, were you ever afraid that they wouldn't sing in or anything like that?
No, it's a pretty easy part. So. And, yeah, the first time I tried it, it was very gratifying because everyone sang along and everyone, it was surprising to me how eager everyone was to act like a zombie.
Right.
And still to this day, there are people reinventing reinventing the zombie act every night. So it's a very cool thing to see.
Right, in your London show, there's a lot of people singing along throughout the whole show. How do you feel about that? Do you feel that you enjoy it, or do you, does it kind of get in your way? Or
I love it. I mean, it makes me feel great. I mean, to just ego-wise, you know, I just know that people know the words to my songs.
Right,
it's
right.
Great. And I also, you know, I have such fond memories of, like, I used to go to the show Pink Floyd the Wall every midnight at this movie theater near where I grew up, and when I was a teenager, we used to drive there and go to the movie, and everybody in the theater would just sing along all the way through. And it was like, you know, a bunch of rural Connecticut hooligans singing together in a room.
Right.
And that doesn't happen too often, so I think it's a really cool thing.
All right. I have a couple questions about your writing process here.
Yeah, you're listening to UCLRadio.com. That's the first portion of the Jonathan Colton interview that I got last weekend when I went to his show there at the House of Blues in Hollywood, California. And it was cool because, as you could tell, he's really cool about me stuttering and stuff like that on the mic and didn't really care that much. And, yeah, I asked him, like, whether or not that it bothers him if people sing along. And he's like, no. He's like, my ego loves it. Pretty much. But, it's funny. Because he's like, nah, then they know the words of the songs. But I really wanted to know if, like, there was a time, like, in that first time he did it, that he was wondering if people were going to do it. Like, here's the part. Now, when I do it, sing along. And then he gets to that part. And what happens if they don't do it, you know?
Yeah. So did he tell you what happened?
He didn't tell me.
That's a cop out.
That's typical rock star style.
I think the best part about his music, he seems like such a nice guy.
Yeah. No, and I think that's the whole thing about his nice guy persona comes through when you meet him too. And there's nothing false about his music too.
Yeah, that's what I was about to. I was wondering whether you thought he was a pretty nice guy.
No, I thought he was extremely nice. He apologized like 1,000 times for missing this the week before and missing because he was supposed to call in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And missing all this other stuff. So, yeah, he was super nice. Like, you know, he laughs at stuff you say. And as in the upcoming one, I ask him about couple skating and things like that. And he has some good stories about it.
What's couple skating?
About couple skating?
Yeah, you'll see. Couple skate? You know?
Like rollerblading?
Roller skating. Rollerblading. Look at this.
Sorry, that was way before my time.
He's a little punk.
That's what old people do.
You've seen videos of it.
I think, like, didn't they do that during, like, the 70s? Wasn't that, like, popular?
Do you ask all your guests how to couple skate?
Yeah, like, where did that come from? That's what I was wondering. Like, I don't know where that would come from. Like, it's like, what's your favorite color?
He has a song that's, like, and let's actually, you know what? I'm going to play the song so you guys can get a little context of, it's called The Future Soon. And in that song, he talks about couple skating.
I'm
going to
go get that request.
All right, get that request. That's right, intern. Get that request.
I thought there were going to be two of them for us to boss around.
No, there's just one, but he's sassy enough.
We'll see.
We're going to get DJ Michael Cera when he comes back. meanwhile, here's Jonathan Colton with The Future Soon, which I ask him about in the upcoming portion of the interview. So check it out. You're listening to I'm in a Band, the best in unsigned music, Sunday nights, 8 to 10 p.m. That's right, intern. We're done.
I missed it.
Last week I left a note on Laura's desk. It said, I love you, signed anonymous friend. Turns out she's smarter than I thought she was. She knows I wrote it, now the whole class does too. And I'm all alone during couple skate. When she skates by with some guy on her arm. But I know that I be some kind of scientist, building inventions in my space lab in space. I'll end world hunger, I'll make dolphins speak, work through the daytime, spend my nights and weekends perfecting my warrior robot race, building them one laser gun at a time. I will do my best to teach them about life and what it's worth. I just hope that I can keep them from destroying the earth, 'cause it's gonna be the future soon. Make me weak and strange, get engineered away. It's gonna be the future soon. I've never seen it quite so clear. When my heart is breaking, I can close my eyes. It's already here on Earth. They'll wonder as I piece by piece replace myself. Calls me home. I'll see her standing by the monorail. She'll look the same except for bionic eyes. She lost the real ones in the robot wars. I'll say I'm sorry, she'll say it's not your fault. Or is it? She'll eye me suspiciously. She can't hide when a crazy cyborg wants to make you his robot, right? Well, it's gonna be the future soon, and I won't always be this way. When the things that make me weak and strange get engineered away, it's gonna be the future soon. I've never seen it quite so clear. When my heart is breaking, I can close my eyes. It's already.
That's the future soon, Jonathan Colton. We're having some issues logging in our Bruin radio, but we will be online really soon. I got Tim on the job. I mean, DJ Michael Sarah. Formerly known as Tim. The artist. Come on. Okay. The stop motion artist, DJ Michael Sarah.
Yeah, so DJ Octune, I have a question for you.
Hit me.
You're much more of a musician than I am. I'm straight mostly to Rock Band and Guitar Hero. But I know you in your past have played the guitar and you've played a little drums and you've actually been in a band. You've not played drums. No. Then why are you giving me advice in Rock Band? I feel like my score has suffered. But nonetheless, you've been around a lot more musicians than I have.
Indeed.
And so what do you know, as far as from a technical perspective, how does Jonathan Colton's music stack up? Like, do you feel like it's very simple music, very simple stuff.
Right. Oh, so you're kind of referring to like him answering the question when I asked him, you know, does he consider, is it hard to be funny and a serious musician at the same time? Because I really felt that was a serious question.
Yeah.
And he answered it pretty well. He's pretty good. I mean, the feature scenes got a lot of chord movements. He does a lot like, kind of reminds me of someone like Frank Black or somebody who is really considered a serious musician, but just plays primarily chords and does a lot of chord changes and relies a lot on his rhythm. Jonathan Colton, I wouldn't say is quite up to that level because he's a lot more derivative of things like They Might Be Giants and, you know, but yet he's really poppy and really catchy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, his skill level is pretty decent. So pretty high. And his songwriting, mixing lyrics and the, cause another thing it's hard to measure is like, you know, your lyrics with the theme of your song, with like how the music balances it out. Like, is it a fun music or like, what is it? Right. So, he does that, you know, really well, really well. So, to answer your question,
how dare you judge him? He gives you a beautiful interview. Stab him in the back like that by calling him a derivative. It's unbelievable.
I said a little derivative.
This is what happens when you,
he's
when
just
you,
starting out anyway.
Nice
he
DJ
just,
Octune.
He just quit his job in 2005. Anyway, here's the second part of the interview. You're listening to I'm in a Band, the best in unsigned music. This is the rest of the Jonathan Colton interview, so check it out.
keypad.
Which one?
The sequencer?
It's called a Tenorion. Uh-huh. It's a sequencer with like onboard synth sounds and like, it's very cool. Yeah. That key, it has all these like buttons. It's like a 16x16 grid of buttons.
It's just a screen. It's just like this screen. It's
a screen with a bunch of buttons. Yeah. Jeez. It's pretty cool.
It looks cool, man. Just a couple more questions. Some artists think that creativity comes quickly, and other ones think that, you know, it takes a long time to produce a song and things like that. With your Thing a Week project, you did Song a Week, obviously. Yeah. Do you think that more good songs came of that, say, if you took, like, a month to do a song, 2 months to do a song, things like that?
Yeah, sorry, I interrupt. Sorry. Quickly. Did you hear back officially from anyone yet?
Still working on it.
No problem.
Let me know once
you hear from somebody.
I will. I would say that, you know, it's different. Sometimes songs come to me quickly and sort of fully form. Not fully, but like they write themselves very quickly and that sort of happens in a very effortless way.
Right.
But that, for me, is a very rare kind of inspiration. For me, I found that one of the things that I learned in Thing a Week is that like this sort of ongoing, dedicated writing whatever I can actually produces more good stuff than I think it will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of like, because there are many weeks that I would have to finish an idea because it was the only idea I had.
Right.
And if I didn't have that deadline, I probably would have discarded it.
Right.
And sometimes discarding it was the right thing to do because they weren't good. But other times, they were sort of like surprise favorites.
Right.
I think there's a lot to that. You know, you really should, as a creative person, you're really best served by sitting down on a regular basis and writing, whether you feel like it or not,
right,
or whether you feel like it's good or not.
Right, right. A question from your forums. John from jonathancolton.com said, what part of songwriting do you find to be the most difficult / tedious?
Tedious. You know what it is? There's always a point where, because I sort of build, I go in sections, you know, and I gradually figure out what the whole thing is about and what the bigger picture is. And, like, sometimes, there's always a point after I know what the bigger picture is, and I have, like, a good chorus that I like, and I have one verse that I like, and then I'm like, shit, I need two more verses. Or, like, I need a bridge now. Like, I've already said the whole thing. Like, I have nothing else to say. Like, that's always the challenging part, is, like, when you feel like, you know, the song is actually summed up by one verse and one chorus, but you can't really have a song that only has one verse and one chorus. I guess you can.
Right.
I've done that a couple of times, Lord knows.
I mean, the Beatles, like, you know, All You Need Is Love.
Right, right, exactly.
There's an example of a song. Do we need to write more than that?
It's a very good point.
So your recordings sound extremely professional. One listener named Nacho, he asks, what hardware and software do you use? And do you record everything at home, or do you use a professional studio?
No, I record everything at home. It's I record into Pro Tools on a Mac.
Uh-huh.
I have a Digi 002, my audio interface. You know, a bunch of different microphones, nothing more than $300, you know, I don't have good enough ears to notice the difference between a $300 mic and a $2,000 mic. So
right, right.
I stick with the cheaper ones.
Right. Have you blogged about that, or do you tell people that on a regular basis, like, this is how you set up a home studio, or anything like that?
There's a section on my Frequently Asked Questions page that that goes over everything, lists of everything in the studio. I don't know if I talk about it explicitly, but I'm a fan of cheap things. You know, it's like when I bought a bass guitar, I went into the store and I said, I need the cheapest bass guitar you own, you have here in the store, because I can just barely play the bass.
Right.
So it doesn't make much sense for me to spend $1,000 on a bass guitar that I can't really play. You know.
Right, right. All right, switch to a couple more questions. The Future Soon is a great song. It's told through the point of view of an awkward adolescent boy. Can you discuss how you came up with that song and describe your experiences with couple skating? And the third part of that question is the current generation missing out without this painful rite of passage?
Well, first of all, I think there are plenty of ways to experience painful moments in your adolescence. You don't necessarily have to go roller skating to feel like a jackass.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I actually, the first the first verse of that song is all true. It's 100% true. It was a girl I liked in school. Mm-hmm. I left a note in her desk. Mm-hmm. I was very sneaky, I thought. It's an anonymous note. And I told her to leave a like a piece of paper with an X on it in the desk of the boy that she liked. Nobody gets hurt. You know, no problems. Nice and easy. Uh-huh. And, of course, she knew it was me. And, you know, because she already knew that I liked her because I was talking to her all the time. And she told everybody. Everybody's like, did you leave a note in her desk? The couple skating thing, yeah, she did. Soon after that, she was going out with, that's what you used to say.
Right, sure.
Another boy. I did get to skate with her, a couple skate with her once. Mm-hmm. It was thrilling. Mm.
So you don't think anything's lost with couple skating being gone?
Couple skating sucks, dude. It's no good at all.
All right. So, just more broad subject. The radio show that I'm on, we only play unsigned artists, and you said, you stated at one time, at this moment I'm unsigned, I'm proud to say I've created this whole thing mostly on my own, with plenty of help from fans, but it's getting busy, I'll probably sell out and go Hollywood any day now.
Here I am in the Sunset Strip.
There you are. So, two questions. One, how big do you want to be? Do you want to get signed?
That's a very good question. I'm pretty happy with the size I am right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm making a living. I'm not getting rich, mm-hmm. but I am supporting myself and my family with this. Mm-hmm. I'm not famous enough that I can't go outside mm-hmm. and, like, behave like a normal person.
Right.
You know, I feel like the fame that comes from television and movies is kind of a burden in a lot of ways because you... Really, you know, I have this song Tom Cruise Crazy about mm-hmm. poor Tom Cruise, and I actually do feel bad for the guy because mm-hmm. he's like permanently messed up.
Right.
He can't ever do anything without being Tom Cruise.
Right, and you think fame, there's a certain level of fame that kind of does that to people?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, imagine if you, every time you went outside, people were pointing and looking at you.
No, yeah, it'd have to mess with you in some way.
It would really mess with you, I think. So, I don't know. I'm, you know, on the other hand, it's great to reach people and it's great to hear back from people mm-hmm. and you know, it's fantastic thing to be known and to mm-hmm. have people appreciate the work that I do. So, you know, it seems like on one hand, more of that would certainly be better, but on the other hand, I don't know, maybe not. Mm-hmm. Hard to say.
Mm. Cool. Where would Jonathan Colton be without World of Warcraft?
Yeah, that's been huge. Yes, please. Yeah, World of Warcraft is just, it's one of many examples of things that are like, you know, all these tiny networks of other kinds of fandom mm-hmm. that my music has found its way mm-hmm. into. And yeah, specifically there's this guy, Spiff, who makes these World of Warcraft movies. And apparently there's a whole community of people who mm-hmm. just watch World of Warcraft movies mm-hmm. all the time, you know. And he's made 10 or 12 or something.
Right.
And some of them have been watched on YouTube more than a million times. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's significant. You know, it's a significant number of eyeballs. Or earballs.
Right.
It's... But, you know, that is just one of many niches that are part of this, like, super niche of geekdom.
Right.
It's an amazing thing.
It is. It truly is. Two more questions. Mitch asks... Have you ever considered plugging in and having to show with a full backup band?
I have. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a lot of fun. There are two things that have kept me from doing it so far.
Mm-hmm.
One is it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. not to put too fine a point on it, but, you know, it's very hard for me to get myself somewhere, you know, let alone a bunch of other people, convince them that it's worthwhile, and rehearse and get them to do what I want them to do, and, mm-hmm. you know, and learn to play together as a band. It's a big undertaking. Mm-hmm. I would love to do it because mm-hmm. it's a lot of fun playing with other musicians. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is a little limiting, just me and a guitar. Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of thing, and sometimes it's very nice, but, mm-hmm. You know, I also like the band sound. The other reason that I haven't done it is that it's just expensive, you know.
Right.
And for me right now, to tour means packing a suitcase and picking up my guitar and mm-hmm. getting on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just to add a drummer with a drum set
means
all sorts of new cases and vehicles and people carrying things.
Right.
And that's, you know, would make me suddenly not profitable.
Right.
But I would like to do it someday. I would very much like to do it someday.
All right. Joanne asks, when is your next song coming out, and are you working on any ones at this time?
I am. I have a song that I'm working on right now. I was trying very hard to write a happy song about a nice day, because I was always so dark and weird and stuff that comes out of me. But I'm afraid it's going to be a sort of dark and weird song about a nice day. But it will be bouncy. It will sound bouncy, but be depressing.
Nice.
I don't know how soon it will be done. So I'm doing my best, Joanne.
I'm sure she'll appreciate that.
All right, and that's it. That's it for I'm in a band. No, that's it for
good night.
That's for the.
That was a great show.
That was a great show, wasn't it? Yeah. That was the Jonathan Coulton interview last weekend at the House of Blues before he went on and did a great show. So pretty funny guy. Big thanks to Jonathan Coulton for finally sitting down with me, DJ Octoon, for and the interview. It was a lot of fun. So what'd you guys think? Funny stuff?
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right?
Yeah.
Just all right.
See how the second half, you kind of get used to when you're doing an interview, you start to get used to the person.
Right.
Don't,
You know, what do you think, what's your overall impression of what he thinks about of himself? I mean, it seems like,
it's pretty humble.
Yeah, he seems really humble, but,
yeah.
You know, when he talks about, and I've seen some of those videos that he was talking about, those have millions of hits.
I mean,
like, lots and lots of hits, and he's really, really, when you look at the forums, a lot of people talk about him sort of in this revered way.
Right.
But it doesn't seem like he's aware of any of that.
No, no, he's aware of it. I just think it's too much for him even to go into, you know? Mm. Like when I said, like, how big do you want to get, you know? And even like when he talks about anything, like his success, he's just like, oh, and a lot of it has to do with the fans and the way they recycle and spread the word, you know? So I think he's really, and he said one time that he spends literally like would spend 6 hours a day communicating with fans, like instant messenger and emails, just because when someone makes something for him, he feels like, oh, they spent, you know, a week making this. The least I could do is write them a like quick, like, hey, thanks, Jonathan Coulton, you know, or something like that.
Right.
So, I mean, he's very interactive with his fans, and his fans love him.
Yeah,
like
they
the show is just like, it was intense, just like the nerddom of just like love.
Yeah, he played at Minneapolis, and that show sold out like
two weeks
in advance.
Right. It was it was great, and it's very, very nice and non-threatening crowd. Although there was one really, really drunk dude like right near me, and he was just like, he was shouting "First of May, First of May" to this guy, which is a song about having sex outdoors because it's the first day of spring. So it's a Jonathan Coulton song. Let me see if I have it, but. But yeah, and Jonathan Coulton's like, no request from you, Mr. Drunk Man, and like all this stuff. But it was pretty funny.
There's always that one drunk person at concerts.
Yeah, but you just don't expect it at a concert where everyone else is just, so polite and just nice.
What was the mix of the crowd? Was it older people?
I would say 80 to 90% JavaScript programmers, and then 10 to 20%.
Well, his videos
HTML.
Are
HTML.
His videos are World of Warcraft. You're gonna get a lot of that, which is cool. That's
it was
totally cool.
It was totally cool. All right, we got some requests tonight.